It's time for the Open Mic Podcast with your host, Brett Allen. Broadcasting live from the Bay Area studios, here at the Open Mic, no topic is off limits. And of course, you never know who may stop by. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Open Mic Podcast. My name is Brett Allen, and I am your host with the most. It's good to be here with you on this beautiful Bay Area Saturday. Coming to you live from the studios, we have a phenomenal guest lined up for you, and I am excited to get to this interview. Dan Martell is on the program today. If you don't know who he is, you will definitely know by the end of the show. Dan Martell is an angel investor. He is an entrepreneur and mentor to businesses across the globe. And he has helped so many people just do so many different things. I am really excited to talk to him. You know, to get big, huge guests like this is really phenomenal. It takes a lot of work. Sometimes it may take up to a year before we can get a hold of somebody. Now, I obviously haven't been doing it that long, but we are rolling up on 100. And I've been working on getting Dan on the program for about a month and a half. And we had just a few minutes with him, and it was great to talk to him. I'm excited, and we'll get to that interview in just a minute. But thanks to everybody who follows us on social media. Brett's Open Mic on Instagram, Brett Allen on Twitter, and of course, Brett Allen on Facebook. Actually, Twitter is Brett's Open Mic. I apologize. I get him so confused. Also, if you want to know all things Open Mic Podcast, you can head over to www.theopenmicpodcast.net. And that's our website, and you can get all the latest and greatest information about the show. You can follow us on social media there. You can listen to the latest episodes. And it's just all right there, compact. I love it. That's what makes this job so easy and so much fun. So with that being said, we've got Dan Martell on the line. Dan Martell, welcome to the podcast, sir. It is an honor to have you on the show. I am super excited to talk to you today.
Brett, absolutely my pleasure, man. Really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, so I am super familiar with you and follow you on social media and know about your story, your methodology, all of those things. But you do have a very cool story and background. If you wouldn't mind sharing that with our listeners, how did you get started as an entrepreneur?
Yeah. So, I mean, just so people have context, you know, I've been building businesses for 20 years. I became a millionaire when I was 27. I don't share that to brag. It just gives context. But, you know, I've started 5 companies, exited the last 3, invested in 40 companies now, like Intercom, Udemy, Unbounce as an angel investor. But, you know, what people usually find interesting is the fact that I grew up in a really challenging environment. Ended up in jail twice by the time I was 17 and, you know, had my life kind of come to a halt when I found myself in a high speed chase, drunk and high, and crashed into a house with a handgun in a bag next to me that I planned on pulling on the police to let them do their job and take my life. So, you know, luckily, as I pulled on that gun, it got stuck in. You know, I found myself sober the next morning in a jail cell and realized that somebody had been looking out for me. And, you know, from that point on, I had some incredible people show up in my life and, you know, believe in me more than I ever believed in myself and taught me things about life and mindset. And it wasn't, it was about 11 months later, I was in rehab. And towards the end of my program, I found this yellow book on Java programming in a computer. And, you know, I typed it into the, I was reading the book, typing the stuff into the computer, and it turned out, it actually said hello world. And, that became my new addiction. I mean, that's the 30-second version of it. But, you know, I, you know, my mom was an alcoholic, my dad was in sales, and, you know, I'm the second oldest of 4, and I felt broken for many years because I got diagnosed with ADHD at 11. And, you know, it turns out that a lot of the street hustling I was doing transfers into, you know, the business skill set and acumen as you create companies. So
yeah, I would say so.
Could be here and you know, every day I do what I can to give back and help those.
Yeah. Now, so I would say it's safe to say that regardless of your background or your circumstances, that shouldn't stand in your way of pursuing dreams, right?
100%. And I think if anything, especially when, you know, I get the opportunity to speak to, you know, at-risk youth and kids in rehab and, you know, what they call the special classes in high school, which really pisses me off. I was just speaking to one.
I know, it's terrible.
Yeah. Like I go in there and I'm like, all right, you know, you're my peeps. We're going to have some fun. Cause I'm going to try to convince you into creating your future in the next, you know, hour and 15 minutes. And, I think if anything, they're better suited. Like that's what's crazy is I felt because I came from nothing, I had nothing to lose because I'd already done some pretty risky things that was in my favor. And honestly, nobody expected a whole lot from me anyway. So as long, you know, my dad always joked growing up, if I could just find something I was passionate about that wasn't illegal, he thought I could do a decent job at it. And, turns out he was a little bit right. So.
Yes, yes. I know it's interesting you talk about the special classes. I'm 44. So I remember students of that nature, they always had them put off somewhere in an odd spot on the school campus, like in a trailer somewhere that was separate from everybody else. So I appreciate your honesty on that point because yeah. that really does bug me, but I digress. Yep.
So my whole thing is I think that those kids are in a better position to be entrepreneurs than the other ones that are valedictorians. That's just been my experience, and I don't know if there's data to support that, but when I look at my high school, you know, social status and kind of who is the most popular high school jocks and all that stuff versus where they're at in life and versus the troublemakers, the story's a little different than what people would have thought.
Right. Well, you're the one with really great things and a fantastic life because you've chosen to do that by design and just really working at it. Now, I want to ask you, you mentioned the term angel investor, and I interview a lot of entrepreneurs on my podcast. And if you wouldn't mind just defining that term, what that means, because you hear it on TV, Shark Tank, TV, I mean, it's all over the place. What is the actual definition of an angel investor?
Yeah, angel means that you're taking your own money and you're investing in other businesses. If you don't say angel, then it's usually sometimes you raise a fund and you invest other people's money on their behalf. But that's why like all the sharks, they invest their own money. I invest my own money. And it's really, you know, my first angel investment would have been, I think it was about $25,000 into a company called Rapid Mind Solutions. And I think I bought 15% of the company for that $25,000. Lost it all, but that's just an example of how an investment works. You give them money for a percentage of the business, hoping they either get better returns on the dividends that they pay out, or when they exit the business, that percentage will be a lot higher than what you put in.
Now, if I understand correctly, you specifically focus on what is called SaaS businesses. Is that correct?
Yeah.
What is that?
Software as a service. SaaS is software as a service. I should probably do a whole video on my YouTube channel on what SaaS, because I have a lot of like my best friends. They're like, hey, Dan, what's SaaS? But yeah, it's an industry term. It's pretty much, you know, your Trello's, your Dropbox, your Google Drives, your Netflix. Okay. So it's anything that you pay. Typically, I work with B2B SaaS, so business to business, so workflow tools for businesses. So your marketing automation, your invoicing, your project management tools, those are SaaS products.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. I appreciate that. So when you are looking to become an entrepreneur or someone decides that they want to be an entrepreneur, do you feel from your perspective it requires a special skill set to do this per se?
No. I mean, I think what's required is just a hunger and a drive to create your life. You know, like what I feel lucky to have figured out at a young age was that, you know, entrepreneurship became the ultimate personal development program. So I think if anybody, because if you want your business to grow, right, you just got to go look in the mirror. Like there's only one person you're competing against. People always talk about market competition. It's like, you know, go look at the bad habits that you've got and ask yourself how you can compete against those. That'll probably generate more, you know, value than trying to look at the competitive market landscape for most entrepreneurs starting off, especially. But I just think they need to be hungry. They need to have motivation. They have to have a want. And ideally they're solving a problem that they have themselves. The skills can be taught, right? You can teach sales, you can teach marketing, you can teach, management, but you can't teach hunger and motivation and drive. You know, those are things that have to come from within.
So you have to be motivated personally to want to do it. And I think too, and I've heard this before, I don't know if you agree, but you have to be able to see the entire picture before you have all the puzzle pieces. Is that right? As far as trying to build a business and get it up and going?
You need to see where you're going, but you don't need to have the answers, right? So like that's the thing is I always tell people to focus on the what, not the how. I think you got to set a very big end what of what you want to create and then just disconnect from how, but take action every day towards that vision, right? And when I say that, it's not like the 1 year plan. I'm talking about like a 25 or a 10 year plan. Like, where do you want to end up? That's the drive, the why. And then that'll pull you forward. So I think motivation, the challenge with that is that it's short lived and you need to be doing it for a reason that's bigger than yourself. You know, that's why a lot of entrepreneurs that do it for the financial reason, that's usually not a good one. In regards to success rates, what's funny is the one where you want to like prove somebody wrong, even though it's a negative driver, it's actually a really good one to start with because it can keep you sustained for a while. But at a certain point, you're going to get tapped out on that energy source as a driver, and you're going to want to kind of do something that's a little bit more, you know, problem solving, service, fixing, you know, righting a wrong in the world kind of drive than just trying to prove your dad or your mom wrong.
You know, Gary Vaynerchuk says that a lot too. You know, there's more to it than that. So obviously financial drive shouldn't be your only motivation for starting a business, right? Because it may be years before you plateau to that point and start actually seeing
it's not only that, it's just you're not going to win. Like, it's just, you know, there's this great question that I like to ask entrepreneurs is, what would you do every day, you know, happily, even if you couldn't see any forward progress doing it, right? Because that, you know, that's that whole thing is like the journey is actually the reward, it's not the destination, right? The financial return is a byproduct of creating value, but as an entrepreneur, if you can't derive self-worth and excitement and happiness from doing the work, then you're just going to probably give up where other people's wouldn't, and they're going to win and you're not.
Wow. Thank you so much for that. I love this. Now, you've been working with a lot of people. You work with a lot of young entrepreneurs. What do you feel from your perspective and just overall, really, Dan, are some of the biggest mistakes people make when they want to start a business, no matter what it is, whether it's software, a podcast, it could be anything in that sort of realm?
Yeah, so I mean, there's so many things, but if I looked at themes, you know, I've talked to, you know, at this point in my career, probably 5,000 entrepreneurs. You know, I've done calls, you know, through my platform. I built a company called Clarity.fm. You know, I did 1,300 calls just in a 2 year period. So I've got some real time in the seats talking to other entrepreneurs. The big thing is I don't think they work backwards from the customer, meaning that they have a solution, they fall in love with the solution, they don't fall in love with the problem that their customers have, meaning that they think that everybody's going to want to solve the problem the way they see it, and that's the biggest mistake. So I'm a big fan of always going to the market, talking with my customers or potential customers about the problem, and then working backwards from that. So that's a big one. Second, I would say spends way too much time on things that don't matter. You know, I remember meeting a girl. She asked me for, you know, a friend of a friend introduced us. She was starting a new personal training business. And when I went to meet her, I mean, we're talking 2 months in, she had the office desk, the letterhead, the presentation brochures, all brand new, you know, gym equipment in her basement. Like, you know, I asked her, I was like, how much did you spend so far? She's like, well, I got a line of credit for $200,000.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. My heart sank. You know, because she thought that business was about doing the business, like playing business. Like, at the end of the day, you don't have a business till somebody buys something, right? So that's the things that don't matter. To me, it's anything that drives you closer to the customers, that gets a transaction and a sale. That's the right thing you need to be focusing on, not making sure your letterhead and your paper stock is done right. And I'd say third thing is thinking they're hustling when they're not. You know, a lot of people, it's so funny. You know, I'm hustling. What's up? I'm hustling. It's like, okay, look, just because you work 100 hours does not mean you're hustling. Hustling means you're doing the things that freak you out, that scare you, that give you anxiety. Okay. It's that simple. If you don't wake up every day anxious about the kind of things you're about to go do. And that could be cold calling. That could be, you know, creating a video for a marketing campaign. That could be, you know, launching a new version of your product, whatever it is. If you're not doing things that scare you every day, then you're not hustling. You're just staying busy. And I think that to me is my biggest definition. If I'm hustling, it means I'm outside my comfort zone. If I'm not, then I ain't hustling.
Yeah, there's a whole stigma to that term. And I appreciate you providing clarification on that, because I think there can just be an overuse of that term. But I agree. If you're not productive, well, then okay, you're just doing stuff. We can all do that.
100%. Staying busy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, your kids could hustle, right? I mean, I follow you on social media and they're doing stuff. And I mean, yeah, sure. That's funny.
It's confusing activity with outcome. I'm all about outcome. And usually those outcomes are byproducts of outside your comfort zone.
Yes, for sure. Now, social media is becoming a huge medium, it seems, for business to advertise. Do you feel that Instagram and Facebook ads can be successful for a business by chance?
Yeah, so 1,000%. And I've been saying this for years. I remember my brother started a home building company in 2006 or 7, and he would be like, look, my customers are not on Facebook. And I was just like, dude, they're so there. Like, it's not, maybe not all of them, but 60% are. And you've got this opportunity to get in front of them. So I've been doing, you know, Facebook ads and Instagram as soon as they were released to the, you know, to me anyways. I got early access to the Facebook stuff. But here's the problem is most companies don't know how to do them right, and they waste time. You know, so we're not talking about boost and post on your fan page. We're talking about building, you know, a lead gen process or creating campaigns to create context. You know, I think that there's a difference between context and conversions, and social media is incredible at, you know, bringing awareness and indoctrinating and you know, warming up the market before they buy from you, to help the whole conversation just flow easier when they're finally in market and have the pain enough that they want to, you know, at least have a conversation if you can help them solve it. So I think that, you know, if you're not using it, they're amplifiers, right? You can still have a successful business and not have a fan page or Instagram. But I think if you've got a successful business and you add those two, it'll amplify things and make the whole way easier. And for me, it's just a lot of fun. And it's part of my DNA as a person, is I like to share. I like to live out loud. I like to teach stuff. But, you know, the reason why it usually doesn't work as well is the business model. You know, I was talking to a founder the other day, and I was like, you know, what's your lifetime value of a customer? He's like, $45. I said, in ads? And he's like, yeah. I said, how much does it cost you to get an email? He's like, in those economics. So I think that you need to make sure that you're selling something with a high enough gross margin. You know what I mean? So like, some of this stuff is just pure business, you know, net paper, like back of a napkin calculation. Most people don't even, you know, and that's just a byproduct of their lack of strategic thinking, I think. But yeah, I just think the business model has to be right. You have to actually build out campaigns that drive business, and then also look at using it for just building top of funnel context for the market.
Fantastic. Well, I have a couple more questions. I know we have a hard out here, so I want to make sure I hit them. You often speak to folks about burning out quickly and how to avoid burnout. What are some pieces of advice you would have for business owners, entrepreneurs who may be facing that point to sort of turn around and not burn out?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, the reason people get overwhelmed and burned out is because they go all in and they sacrifice, right? I believe in more of the concept called the integrated life. And I've got a whole video of how I do it with my family and my business. But to me, that means that, you know, on a rhythm, and it's whatever you want it to be, I'm not going to preach any specific way, but, you know, on a consistent, you know, rhythm, you're taking care of your health, you're investing in your relationships, you're investing in your hobbies, and you're obviously investing in your business. And then with that, looking for opportunities to do what I call net time, right? No extra time. So for example, 2 days ago, Kelsey needed some time. She works with me. She needed some time to review a strategy that she's working on. I'd already been committed. I said, hey, I'm going for a run tomorrow at lunch. Why don't you come over and bring your running shoes? She did, right? So that's net time. I've got to run anyways. we get to talk about strategy. Same thing I do with, like, you know, my founder lunches, where I invite a bunch of founders together and break bread. It's a great way for me to build my relationships, deepen those relationships, and also I got to eat anyway, so we might as well take an extra few minutes to enjoy it with a group. Or, you know, I run a backcountry snowboarding ski trip every year with 48 other entrepreneurs. Yeah, so it's like that's a hobby of mine that also turns into a really great way for me to connect and meet other business folks that I meet over the year. I can invite them and we can spend more time together. So I'm a big fan of integrating it and really just sitting down and designing what would the ultimate week look like. And I think that's what people start off in business. They don't work backwards from that. They keep thinking grow, revenue, profit. You know, like that's cool, but you know, 5 years from now, you're gonna wake up and you might hit all your financial goals to find out that you hate your day, right? I'm a big fan of saying, okay, what does the perfect day look like, and how do I work towards that over the next, you know, 2 or 3 years? And I'm just fortunate. This has been, you know, I've had that going now in my life for over a decade. So to me, it's just second nature. But it's really just making sure that you consistently look at the cadence and the tempo of all the important pillars in somebody's life, so that it's hard to burn out if you don't go too long without investing in them.
Fantastic. One last question. You recently wrote a blog on teaching your children growth mindset. I love that. As a dad, I definitely want to adopt that particular practice. Would you mind expounding on that for just a couple of minutes here as we wrap things up?
Yeah, so I mean, the concept of growth mindset, fixed mindset, comes from Carol Dweck's book. I think it's called The Growth Mindset. And, you know, she had a chapter in there on children and how to encourage your children to. I mean, at the end of the day, like, I want to, my legacy is going to be my children. Like, that's the best thing I'm going to do for the world, that's going to live way past my time here on Earth. And obviously, I want them to learn the skill sets to create and be, contributors and self-contained and support themselves and all that fun stuff. And one of that is to have a growth mindset, to believe that you can, you know, improve and grow day to day. Most people, 80% of the population, believes that their IQ is fixed, and it's just not, you know, biologically true. So things that we do is I believe meditation is an important aspect of life, you know, mindfulness and meditation. So we meditate every night. I teach them the concept of growth mindset. So when they do things, I say, you know, why did you get that? You know, why did you learn how to write? Because I got a growth mindset. They understand what growth mindset is. I'm a big fan of encouraging the effort. I think that too often parents get excited when there's outcomes made and they don't reward the effort to get those outcomes. And if anything, I'd rather my children know that I'm most impressed with the practice, not the results. So I make conscious effort to recognize that. And then also stop and help them recognize the journey. Even if they haven't made it to that outcome or that result that they're achieving, the mountaintop, let's call it, you know, stopping halfway up and just saying, hey, let's look back. Let's look at, like, 3 weeks ago, you couldn't even, you know, sit on the bike, let alone ride it, you know, and I know you're not there yet, but I mean, you've made a lot of effort in the last 3 weeks, like, congrats. And I just think, like, those things really are important. And then the last one would just be that words matter, that I'm very careful the language and the words that I use around my kids, because I know that, you know, if you say, like, oh, you're so smart or you're so artistic, it's like, yes, but so is everybody, right? Like, it's funny how I'm just really careful about labels that we give people, because I think especially kids are susceptible of playing into them. So I always kind of tell them how incredible they are and how special they are and how they're little superhumans and, you know, and that they're learning machines and they're incredible at math, even if it's not true. Like, Brett, that's the reality, is I say it anyways, regardless of what I think, it doesn't matter.
Well, Dan, thank you so much. Real quick, if people want to find you or contact you, how can they do that?
Yeah, so my favorite place lately is Instagram. I've been just sharing as much as I could. So Instagram.com/Dan Martell, 2 L's in Martell. You know, I actually have this great post I put up. Well, great. It's so self.
No, everything you do is awesome. I go ahead.
Thanks. Yeah. No, but it's just this one about competition. I know you wanted to, you know, I just think people think competition is all this stuff, but it's really about your ego, your unhealthy attitudes, the food you consume, the negative behavior, the shitty beliefs you're nurturing, and the lack of creativity. Like, compete against that. Don't compete against other people. Like, I think social media has caused a lot of comparing. Yeah. bad habits. And, you know, I don't ever compare myself to anybody because they're not me and I'm not them. And all I need to ask myself is, am I better today than I was yesterday? And if the answer is yes, then I've got nothing to be upset
Absolutely
about.
Absolutely agreed. Well, there you go, folks. We've solved all the entrepreneurial problems in the world in 25 minutes. Dan, thank awesome. You so much for joining today. I appreciate it.
Brett, again, my pleasure, and have an amazing rest of the day.
There you have it, folks. That brings episode 95 to a close. 5 more away to episode 100. Man, I can't wait. More fantastic folks coming on the show. Be sure to follow us on social media, as I mentioned earlier. And that brings today to a close. Until next time, thanks for joining in. We'll talk to you soon.
That brings today's episode to a close. Thanks for listening in. If you enjoyed today's episode, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a kind rating and review. It really does help. Until next time, cheers and be well.